This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Chicago, it's no mystery that Chevy is your best bet for the unpredictable spring ahead. The snow and ice may be gone, but the spring plot thickens at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true MO of SUVs. If you're thinking about taking all the twists and turns in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one you can identify. And don't worry, they can't see you behind the glass. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to solve the case like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. We got a show full of new Saints guys that will join us throughout the program at 420. Will Clapp, he was an old guy, now he's a new guy back again as the Saints have re-signed him for some depth at both the center and guard position. Former Brother Martin High School star, and then certainly was a standout with the LSU Tigers. Draft choice of the Saints, had a couple seasons here, and then went to the L.A. Chargers and Buffalo Bills before returning to the Saints. And at 440, Valus Jones Jr., one of the LSU coaches talked to me about quite a bit when he came out of high school and from the Mobile area. He goes to USC, then transfers to Tennessee, has a big senior season for the Volunteers, third-round pick of the Bears, and he's played a little bit of wide receiver and running back, and also he's been a return man, so we'll get him to tell us about exactly how they're going to use him here in this Saints offense. And the Saints have just announced a few minutes ago that they have come to terms on a one-year contract with Landon Young. Now, Landon had been a late-round pick, seventh-round pick a few years back. He was the guy Zach Strief personally worked out. I know Zach thought a lot of him. He's played in a reserve position, I think has even started a little bit at both tackle and guard. And so he's being brought back on a one-year deal. Steve, this doesn't surprise me. You bringing back somebody that you, from a front office and some members of the staff, know a little bit about, and he brings you some versatility at both tackle and guard.
Yeah, I was going to go right there, Mike. I like the signing just because he's a guy that's been homegrown in the Saints system here, can play the multiple positions, hard worker kind of guy. And, you need depth along the offensive line. We know all too well that injuries pile up O-line early and often.
Yeah, and that was something this football team needs to continue to do, because I think that, for me, you know, yes, they could use another edge rusher, but you got to rebuild up that offensive line, both talent-wise and depth-wise. And I think certainly the Eagles kind of drew up the blueprint of how you're going to do it. And you're going to have to use some early-round picks with this, because this offensive line class is going to cut off real quick. It doesn't have the depth and talent depth that we have seen in years past. So don't be surprised if it's either the first or the second round pick the Saints use one on an offensive lineman. And Steve, talking about bad luck, man, good gracious, you just heard it on the Sports Flash. Trey Murphy goes down and diagnosed with a torn labrum, partial tear of the rotator cuff in his right shoulder, out for the remainder of the year. And now he joins Herb Jones and DeJounte Murray. And it's almost like, what else could go wrong for this Pelicans basketball team? You talk about a season that you really has almost disappeared on you. But to have those injuries and to have this late, it really kind of hits the last nail on the coffin for that 2024-2025 season.
Definitely been a brutal year all around for the Pels organization with the injuries, like you mentioned. Trey Murphy, too, having a breakout year, really a budding star for this squad. Wishing him the best in recovery. Right now, Mike, we got on the line with us a returning Brother Martin grad and also LSU, Will Clapp, center guard for the Saints. Welcome back, Will. How you been doing?
I'm all good, guys. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Will, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And, you know, every adventure is there. And for you, okay, you stayed local. You're a Brother Martin guy. You go to LSU. You get drafted by the Saints. And then you hit coast to coast. You go with the Chargers. And then you Buffalo back to the Saints. What was the deciding factor? Because I know you had some teams interested in you in coming back to the black and gold.
Yeah, mainly it was, you know, just I was so excited about this coaching staff. I had played for a lot of these guys in my last year in L.A., and that was the biggest selling point. Obviously, you know, being able to stay home with the family and being here with my wife and kids, like that was a huge plus. They didn't travel with me to Buffalo last year, so, you know, being able to be with them, but this coaching staff to be with them and, you know, help try to build something special here was, you know, a big sell for me here.
Will, since leaving the Saints, you have predominantly played the center position. In talking to Kellen Moore, Mickey Loomis, some of the members of the coaching staff, are they looking at you doing that dual role of playing both center and guard here with New Orleans?
Yeah, if you're not in the starting five, you're gonna have to play multiple spots. So I would imagine that, you know, just like everywhere else I've been, even when I was with LA, I never really played much guard, but I knew that, you know, in a pinch, you know, I might have to go over there in a game and play if, you know, injuries start popping off. So I'm ready for that role again, and, you know, ready to do whatever they need me to do on this team.
Will, the other thing is, you know, you think about, man, your journey took you. You had Drew Brees at quarterback, you know, when you first started here, and you go to LA and you got Justin Herbert. And then in Buffalo, you got Josh Allen. And I know all three are a little bit different, but what distinguishes those three guys? Because they're all three different type of personalities, the way they run the game. But, man, you've been blessed to play with three talented quarterbacks like Drew Brees, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen.
Yeah, all those guys, I mean, like you said, different personalities. But I feel like the thing that they all have is like that game day, like killer instinct. And like game day, all three of those guys just are different dudes. And it was a privilege to be able to play with all of them. You know, like this past year, just seeing Josh and him playing at an MVP level. I mean, it was really awesome just to be a part of that and, you know, see that guy go to work and, you know, really just sometimes just take over games. And all three of those guys, you know, have done that, you know, throughout their, you know, great careers. So, like you said, I've been very lucky to play with some very Hall of Fame level quarterbacks.
Will, one of the things, too, in playing center, and I say this all the time, it's the second toughest position to play at any level. I don't care if it's high school, college, pros. Because you got to know what you got to do. And first things first, you got to make sure that the snap is right to the quarterback every time. Not 90% of the time, 100% of the time, but your communication skills with the guard and the guards communicating with the tackles. And you got to pick up, because today I think we see it much more than we ever have, that a lot of this interior blitz stuff or delay blitz that you got to pick it up. For someone, and I've preached this for a long time now about the center position, just how delicate it is and how tough it is to play. For people out there to understand playing that center spot, that, you know, it's a physical game, but it's also a mental chess game of you starting reading different things to make sure your quarterback is upright and that running back's got a lane to run through.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a, you know, defenses change all the time in the league, and you got to be willing to adapt in your protection schemes. I think it all starts, within the game plan week. You know, I've been lucky throughout my career of having coaches that are very good with their third down game plans. Then it's just the guys on the field, how you communicate together. When I was first here, learning from like Max Unger and having, some veteran players like Larry Warford and those guys. I mean, seeing how they communicate and how they went about their business. Sometimes, those guys played together for so long. Sometimes it was just a glance look at each other and they knew what they wanted to do. That's the type of stuff that you build with being together and getting a ton of reps with each other throughout camp and, multiple seasons. And something that I know we'll be looking forward to building, starting in OTAs in a month.
Will, obviously you're familiar with your surroundings in New Orleans, this area, with being prep, college, drafted by the Saints, now back with a team that you mentioned, have some familiarity with these coaches that are here. One, the head coach, Kellen Moore, what was he like being the offensive coordinator and playing under him with the Chargers?
Yeah, loved playing for Kellen out in L.A. He was, everything was just so efficient, fast, to the point. Everything was, he's so detailed and everything's just laid out in the, how we're about to go about the day, expectations, what we're going to do for this game plan, how the plan to beat a team in a week. And, loved his playbook, loved everything about it. And definitely excited to get back with him. Just a great offensive mind. And, the rest of the staff he built, just excited to work with all of them.
Will, I'm getting old in life, and days like today really bring it to light for me. I scouted your dad when he came out of LSU. So that really goes to show you, I've been doing this for some time now, but your dad was a really terrific high school player, such a good player at the collegiate level at LSU. Is there something he brought to you about line play that still sort of sticks with you today?
Yeah, like when I was in high school, my dad was always, he was a D lineman, so he always tried to teach me, things that D linemen do when they, when they get a certain block. He would always make me go down to Pete Jenkins' camp at Nickel State, and I would do the defensive side. And as a high school offensive lineman, I'd just do all the defensive drills and learn those techniques. And it did help me as a young player, just trying to see what linemen want to do or what they're being coached when you do a certain thing to them.
Steve.
So, back now home in Louisiana, what was some of the first things that you were looking forward to doing being back in the boot?
First thing was first, I my wife and kids didn't travel with me, so just getting back with the kids and getting, back in dad shape, that was number one. learning the routines, learning how to do school drop off and pick up, doing all that. Then, just hitting all the good food spots, man. I mean, love Buffalo. The wings are forever, my favorite spot for wings. But, the New Orleans cuisine, I missed all of it. Crawfish season is rolling, doing Mardi Gras. I mean, we went all out, like we do every year for Mardi Gras. So doing all that was just super fun getting back in town.
Will, one of the things I'll never forget, a friend of mine, Frank Lewis, He played in Buffalo. He first of all started it with Pittsburgh, and he got traded to Buffalo. So him and his wife and the kids, they rented a house in Buffalo. So he went there in the summertime, and he sees this fire hydrant, and there's a big flag up in the sky. So he asks the real estate agent, "What's the flag for?" She was like, "Oh, Mr. Lewis, it snows so much. That's for the fire people to find the fire hydrant because it will snow over the top of the hydrant." And Frank was like, "Whoa, man, that's really something. Yeah, I grew up in Houma, and I see this." So he said, "Man, it was a real experience, Mike, to see that."
Oh yeah, the snow in Buffalo is just crazy. I remember the first blizzard we had. I thought it was awesome. I was like, I've never really seen snow like this. I mean, this is so cool. Everybody there was like, just get ready for it. And I mean, there was one night I went to pick up some food and I didn't realize how bad it was snowing. It's crazy. Within like 10 minutes of like driving, you can go from like just like a light little snowfall to like a heavy blizzard where you can't even see. Like, I'm driving down these roads, I have no idea if I'm on, my side of the road or the other. I mean, it's crazy out there.
Will, thanks so much for joining us. And again, congratulations coming back home to Louisiana. And man, enjoy watching you when you be out for the OTAs and also summer camp.
No, I appreciate y'all having me.
All righty. Saints new offensive center guard Will Clapp. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. I want to thank Will Clapp for joining us in the first segment here with us to talk about his return back to the Saints. And Steve, tonight, LSU playing UNO at 6:30 tonight right here on the Big 870 WWL. But, man, you look a little bit down the road, and you see them Longhorns, and you talk about a big test early. That series against Texas.
Mike, I'm going to hop in here and kind of give some numbers about, you know, the SEC and the weekend series. This is the one top 10 matchup in the SEC this upcoming weekend. I know that we kind of previewed it, that it was probably going to be the premier matchup of the SEC schedule for week two. You know, Tennessee and Alabama are playing each other. That's also great. Alabama's off to a 3-0 start in SEC play as well. But I think this matchup with Texas and LSU, funny enough, all four of the teams that are off to 3-0 starts in SEC play are all playing each other this weekend, Mike. So, but I can't wait. Jim Schlossnagel, man, what else can you say about the guy? He just wins everywhere he goes. And so, you know, yes, he had kind of an ugly exit from Texas A&M. But look at where A&M's at right now versus what Texas has done so far through the first 20 games of the season. They look great.
Okay, Charlie, had he left A&M and went, I'm going to just throw it, to North Carolina, would people have made a big thing of it?
No.
You know why he got made a big thing? He went to Texas. That's what really made it big.
Yeah, especially after losing, you know, the national championship series to Tennessee. You go to the arch rival, the school that loves to call you a little brother and stuff like that. It was a bad look. And it was a rough timing and everything like that. But what can you say about the guy? He just wins. And so, yes, LSU, it's a step up in competition from their opening weekend series against Mizzou, but it should be a lot of fun. Other weekend series as well, Mike, Texas A&M's playing Vandy, who's number 22 in the country. Auburn, who's number 20 in the country, is playing Kentucky, got off to a bad start in SEC play. Georgia, who's number 4, you know, with under head coach Wes Johnson, is playing number 13 Florida. That's another really fun matchup. And then Ole Miss is playing Mizzou. So we got a few of them, but LSU versus Texas is definitely the premier matchup, in my opinion.
And today, I know we've had some texters bring this up to me about Garrett Bradbury, who was a former 2019 first-round pick of the Vikings. Minnesota had tried to maybe make a deal with him, but nobody bit. And so he got released, and now he's come up with a new two-year deal with the New England Patriots. A lot of people think that had some thoughts of maybe moving him to left guard for another team, but he signs up a new two-year deal, $12 million, 3.8 of that $12 million guaranteed. When we come back, we'll have on with us another member of the New Orleans Saints, Phaelus Jones Jr., running back, wide receiver, return man, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long, behind the glass here in our studio. And we had one of the texters ask me about the left guard position. When I take a look at it that now, are you real comfortable with that left guard position? I know Landon Young can play that spot. Will Clapp has played it. Nick Saldiveri was the guy, I think, to be honest, Charlie, that's the guy they wanted to take over that left guard position. And, man, he's been hurt so often. And when he got a chance to play, you could tell all that missed practice time, he got beat like a drum. And I know one thing, if I see it, so do other teams in the NFL.
Right.
The Saints have to look at that as a priority spot unless you are thinking about doing some switching, picking a tackle if it's a left or a right, and move a Trevon Penning inside.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do, Mike, because we've talked about this tackle class is not very deep. So if you're going to get one, you should probably get one in round one with the 9th overall selection. However, if you don't think there's value there and you don't want to take a tackle in this class, the guard class is pretty interesting, Mike. I guess, you know, I want to get your thoughts early on about the guards because, yeah, maybe Tyler Booker is a first-round pick from Alabama. But outside of that, Gray Zabel potentially sneaks into the first round as well, just because there is a need for interior offensive line, especially with some of the teams near the bottom of the first round. But I think there's going to be a good run on interior offensive line in day two. And with the Saints hanging out with that extra third round pick, I think that's obviously a clear position that they can address too.
Yeah, I think Tyler Booker is definitely a guy that'll go within the top 22 picks. I think Gray Zabel, who has really played right tackle, right guard, left tackle at North Dakota State, I would think that they would look more at him as an interior player, though he can play tackle.
Agreed.
I'm not saying he can't. The intriguing guy for me is Donovan Jackson from Ohio State, who had mostly played as an interior player. Then all of a sudden now they get some injuries, and he's got to be kicked out to tackle. I thought Donovan really played well. Now, I didn't think when you watched him work out, something may have been wrong. He may not have been feeling well at the combine. But Donovan Jackson, I'm going to tell you right now, I know a couple teams that have Donovan Jackson as a 20s pick in round one. They think of him that much. And so, yeah, I agree with you, but this draft class of tackles, guard, centers does not have the talent or the talent depth that we've seen in years past from offensive line. So it's just how you value it, but there's an attrition part, is that the drop-off is really steep once you're going to get out of those top, I think, 38 picks.
Yeah, Mike, when I initially had the Saints take in Armand Mambu with the 9th overall selection of my first mock, it was with the intention of putting him at right tackle, and then you kick Penning into guard. And obviously, I think he would be taking that left guard spot. And it's a little bit awkward because the guy has shifted positions already from left tackle to right tackle. And then if you're kicking him into guard, that's three straight years of him playing a different position. But at the same time, you got to take the best player available. And if you like one of those guys, it would be interesting to see, because I think you saw some great things from Taliese Fuaga. What do you do if you take Will Campbell, right, from LSU? Yes, you want him to start at tackle. A lot of people see him as a guard because of his arm length. I think, you know, we've talked about this before on the show, Mike, that you let him fail at tackle before you play him at guard. And I don't think he will, because he's such a stout prospect. But does he potentially be an option? And then what do you do with Taliese Fuaga? It's just question marks on the offensive line if you do decide to take an offensive lineman early in the 2025 draft, which I think is still on the table for sure.
Yeah, because I think what we don't know is how the coaches feel about those players.
That's true.
And my feeling is that if you get a chance and Will Campbell's there and you select him, then I'm going to move Fuaga back to right tackle.
I agree.
And then you can kick Trevor Penning inside. So I think if you draft Mambu, then you can keep everybody sort of as they are at the tackle spots, but you kick Trevor Penning inside to guard. And I think one of the two linemen will be there. One of those two guys. And I think it's a close shave, Charlie. Well, I mean, we've talked about it for weeks about you look on some people's board, they have Campbell, and then all of a sudden, Mambu goes to the combine. He ain't played one game yet.
Yep.
And all of a sudden now, he's the top tackle. I think it's razor close between the two of them, but I do think one of those tackles is going to be there at 9. Somebody is not going to pick one, and you're going to have your choice of one of those tackles. And depending on how the draft is, the Saints have to look at that, because if there's talent depth, it's along the defensive line.
I've never,
not at offensive line.
I've never bought that the Patriots are going to draft, you know, top offensive lineman available, even though it is a major need. I think they're going to go best player available because that roster needs so much help just top to bottom. And at that point, Mike, you get past maybe Jacksonville at 5. The two spots that are a little bit intriguing, at least for me with Mambu, you know, maybe the Raiders, but we're convinced that they're going to take Ashton Jeanty at pick 6. And then pick 7 is where it gets really concerning, because I think that the Jets could fully buy in. They drafted Olufashinu last year. He's going to be their left tackle of the future. And if they take Armand Mambu, it's almost kind of a similar situation to the Saints, where they got Taliese Fuaga in the past draft. He looked great. And now you get your right tackle of the future. the Jets are in a similar spot where they have Fashanu that can play left tackle, but they do kind of have a hole at right tackle, so it would make sense for them to take Mbeumo at pick 7. I think that Will Campbell would be the one that's more likely to be there at pick 9 personally, but it'll be interesting to see how kind of the board shapes up, because the Jets can do a bunch of different things a couple picks above them. I don't think the Panthers are interested in offensive line. They're probably looking more defense, but when we talked with Dez Johnson last week, Mike, we did around the NFC South to kind of recap free agency. Dez made a point that a lot of the spending that the Panthers have done so far has been on defense, and that's kind of opening up their options a little bit at pick 8. So we'll just kind of have to see how it all plays out.
Do they have a pass rusher?
No, they could really use the Jalen Walker, though. I mean,
yeah, see, because that's where Walker comes into play. And with the Jets, Brock Bauer said this after the Raiders picked him last year. Which team showed the most interest to you? And he was quick. New York Jets.
Right.
Do they flip that this year?
And go Tyler. And
go Tyler Warren.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you know, the Jets are in a good spot ahead of the Saints, unfortunately, because Tyler Warren's someone that we've talked about a bunch for the Saints at pick 9, too. But if you are going offensive line, I think it's an interesting question, Mike. Like, what do? If you take, you know, Will Campbell, you play him at left tackle, you move Talia Seifuaga back to his natural position at right, you take Armand Mbeumo and everyone just kind of stays put, and you move Penning in to guard in either situation, or do you kind of just stay put and maybe potentially address the guard spot later on in the draft? I think the Saints have some options here.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is I think the wild card as a top 10 pick is going to be Will Johnson, the cornerback from Michigan. I think he's a guy a lot of people really want to get to know a little bit better.
Right.
He is clear-cut, other than Travis Hunter, the best cover guy in this draft class. Don't let what happened those final four games with the turf toe injury and he didn't play sway you anyway.
Mike,
you watch what he did for Michigan. He put you in his hip pocket. You ain't made no plays on Will Johnson. And a lot of times coaches, man, they hear the racket, what I call it,
right,
of the offseason from other people about, oh, well, he maybe could have come back and play. Okay, made the business decision not to. But if you want a player, Will Johnson can flat out be a stud cover cornerback in the National Football League. We'll come back to finish it up here in hour number one of Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Velus Jones Jr. will join us at 5:10. Then, Charlie, we'll have Stacy Hollowell, UNO's men's basketball coach, talk a little bit about UNO basketball, but also about breaking down the NCAA tournament. And at 5:40, Zach Nagy from LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. We'll talk a little bit about spring football. I know you had one of the callers ask about Garrett Nussmeier and developing an RPO system. I think you will see Garrett run a little bit more than he did last year. Now, he didn't run at all last year, almost. They kind of kept him exactly where he was. But Garrett's a really good athlete, and I think that they got to put that in that system that teams just aren't focused, that he won't take off and run with the football. I think you will see more of that from Garrett Nussmeier in 2025. I just think that's a feature that has to be there on the LSU offense. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call it 664 Seasons. So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio in our second hour of Sports Talk and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. One of the newer members of the New Orleans Saints, Valus Jones Jr. Valus, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Valus, first time I heard about you, that was an LSU assistant coach that told me, hey, you ought to see this guy from Alabama. He's right outside of Mobile. Can he run? And then so I started keeping up with you on the recruiting stuff, and then you end up at USC and then finishing up at Tennessee. But that was an LSU assistant coach. I don't know how hard LSU recruited you, but, boy, he talked it up about you when you were in high school.
Oh, I bet. You know, speed runs in the family. I could definitely fly like the wind. But, yeah, you got to get on him. I like LSU. I don't think I got the offer.
I think you were on the what they call a B list, but I do know he's on the offensive side of the football. He'd assigned 12 receivers if he could have. That's all I can tell you. So you can sort of figure it out on that end. He might have got pushed away a little bit toward the end. But two questions here. What brought you to New Orleans? What was the main thing here with Kellen Moore and Saints starting up and you? And did you grow up being a Saints fan?
I was my agent brought it to my notice with Coach Moore and, like, the new staff. It was definitely a fresh start, and I just like their system and how they utilize their guys. And so I felt like I fit in just right. Really excited about OTAs, diving in the playbook. And, yeah, definitely ready to get to work. And I'm familiar with a lot of guys on the team, former Tennessee players as well.
Yeah, I know it had to be what Alante was in his last year, and you went to Tennessee. So there's a connection there with you and Alante Taylor, correct?
Yeah, we was roommates.
Okay.
At college, our last year at Tennessee.
When the Saints put out this sheet – they had you listed as a running back. So I'm going to ask you, have they talked to you about exactly what position? Because, you know, we saw a little bit of Hard Knocks on HBO, and they had you kind of doing a little bit of a dual role as a receiver, running back. And I know you can return the ball as a punt kick returner.
Yeah.
So what was explained to you before you signed up? Were you going to play running back? And also, was the return game part of it also?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The whole deal, I'm pretty sure, yeah, they're going to utilize me in the backfield, out the backfield, all different type of ways, just how versatile I am and how good I am with the ball in my hands.
When things didn't, because everybody's got a different journey in life, but for you, that final year at Tennessee, I think you got on everybody's radar real quickly because you made a ton of plays for the Volunteers your senior season there, not only in the return game but also as a receiver. So, man, you're a unique player that could, you could be used, and it helps too with roster spots that you could play both running back and wide receiver.
Yeah, I could play both outside. I played in the outside of Tennessee, mainly in the slot. That last year, it was just like easier for them to get the ball in my hands, and they found a lot of creative ways. With some drawn up plays just so I can get the ball in my hands and get going. And so I feel like what I do, yards after catch, yards after contact, I feel like it's rare, especially with my speed and size as well. It's rare to have that body type.
One of the things, Velas, I always say this about Josh. He don't look the part of Lane Kiffin, but that's a lot of Lane Kiffin and Josh Heupel. Almost stuff like, okay, I'm going to show you how it's done real quickly. Almost like you drew it up in the dirt, and he comes up with stuff to get people open downfield. And I see some of that, too, in Kellen Moore. So in your conversation, is there sort of a little bit of similarities offensively, mindset-wise, between a Josh Heupel and a Kellen Moore?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I say, like you said, they find ways to, you know, get guys open downfield, utilize them, deep threat, mid-range. So, yeah, I could definitely see that. I think I will fit in just well with the offense.
Charlie?
Velas, Mike always says speed never had a bad day in his life. And so I just wanted to have you introduce yourself to the Houdat Nation and what they can expect from that game-breaking explosive speed.
Oh, man. A lot of excitement when I get the ball in my hands, and if I'm in open field with the ball in my hands, it's a touchdown.
One of the things, too, I think you could bring to the table is in the return game, and I think that's a big asset for you, in that not only your versatility, but you've had a lot of experience as both a punt and kick returner. I know maybe a little bit more as a kickoff guy, but your thoughts on returning kicks at the NFL level?
You said, what's my thoughts?
Yeah, your thoughts about doing either both or one of the two.
Kickoff return, definitely, like with the new rule, definitely give guys an advantage. I know a main part of the new rule was, you know, kickoff and kickoff return was like one of the most exciting part, you know, when people get to the stadium because they didn't want to miss kickoff because anything can happen. I mean, you had great returners like, people, you know, I looked up to with Devin Hester. I was a big Percy Harvin fan. Like, you know, like anything can happen any second. And so that was a big part of the rule just to bring the excitement back in the kicking aspect when it came to kickoff return. And so definitely I'm looking forward to it. You know, I don't even want to even speak much about it. Just ready, you know, for, you know, the joint practice, camp, the roll around in the preseason, you know, just to show the staff, like, what they got in me when they signed me.
Velas, is there a player, and you brought up Percy Harvin, interesting. Is there a player that you sort of, that's the guy I want to be if I get to the pro level? If you was high school or college, that's the guy I want to be like. Was there a guy like that?
I would say, yeah. I took a lot of my game in high school. I was, you know, pretty good at returning, especially like kickoff return. I watched a lot of film on Percy Harvin. That was one of my favorite players of all time. I was a big Florida Gators fan growing up. So, you know, the Percy Harvins, the Solomon Patton that played at Florida. Yeah, when it came to, like, returning. And also I watched some Devin Smith as well, my old Ohio State Buckeye guy, just like the game. The playmaking abilities, deep ball abilities, and especially with Percy Harvin, how they was able to use him in the backfield, and he can go to slot and make a big play as well, especially yards after the catch. So, like those guys, but specifically Percy Harvin really modeled my game growing up around his. That was like, you know, one of the most electrifying players in like college football history.
No question about it. Velas, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Want to welcome you to New Orleans. And, man, you back down south. You know, that Chicago, it gets kind of cold in the wintertime. It gets cold every once in a while downhill. But, man, welcome to the New Orleans community and to the Houdat Nation.
Most definitely. Shout out Sarah Land and the Blackjacks.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Bayless Jones Jr., running back, wide receiver, return man. You heard him say, hey, I'll play anywhere they want me to. But it sounds like he may get his first shot at halfback with the Saints. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, the head basketball coach for the UNO men's team, Stacy Hollowell. Coach, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Coach, before we get into some of the NCAA tournament breakdowns and your thoughts of it, over the last month, we've seen Master Pete Percy Miller get involved with UNO, with their basketball team and also with athletics. And that's certainly a big thing here in this city. Master P, certainly tremendous name recognition, what he's done as far as, you know, making you talk about a self-made guy, he's it. And your thoughts on how well that can help you out along with UNO sports in general, but it more so in basketball, because I think there's a hidden part here where, man, listen, funding means everything no matter what you're doing in any business. And I think Master P can really help you out in that category.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. When you talk about name, image, and likeness, he is name, image, and likeness.
Yeah.
He really is. When you talk about the city of New Orleans, he has kind of become Mr. New Orleans. He's a philanthropist. He's got, wide reach when it comes to corporate partnerships. He's given back to schools and, you know, wants to help grow the university and the local community. And so when you talk about what he's able to do for our program, you know, there really are no limits, you might say.
Coach, yesterday we had Will Wade on, basketball coach at McNeese, and man, they got a tough one right off the bat. Well, when you get into the tournament, everybody's sort of tough, and not sort of, everybody's tough. Your thoughts on the McNeese basketball team going up against Clemson Thursday night, and man, you know, you just look at that, how quickly Coach Wade was able to turn that Cowboy basketball program around.
Yeah, he went in there with a full head of steam and a lot of support, and put essentially a Power 5 roster together in short order. And so I feel like they can go in there and beat Clemson. Obviously Clemson's a really good team. But Will get out there and they'll switch all the screens and make it tough for him.
Charlie?
Coach, I was looking at the stat earlier and just heading into March Madness. It feels like the one seeds this year are better than they've been in years past. And I think some numbers kind of back me up here. Dalton Cates said this on X, that adjusted efficiency rating per KenPom, the best teams heading into March Madness since 2002. 2025 Duke is number one. So that's one thing. Now, 2015 Kentucky went undefeated leading into March Madness is number two. 2021 Gonzaga is number three. But this is what stands out to me. Number four, number five, and number six are Florida, Houston, and Auburn this year. Every single one seed is in the top six of adjusted efficiency rating per KenPom. And that dates back to 2002. These teams this year, it feels like there's a gap between these one seeds and some of the other teams in March Madness. I just want to get your thoughts on them.
Yeah, you've seen, kind of these rankings or tournament evaluations, and you kind of have tier one, tier two, tier three. There does seem to be a gap. Auburn and Florida, to me, were the class of the SEC this year. Houston has dominated, and you look at the talent that Duke has on the floor. I mean, this may be the best Duke team we've ever seen. And I do think there's a gap there. I wish I could say that somewhere along the line I've got them being knocked off, but I just don't.
Coach, one of the things, and I'm going to ask you, put your coach hat on here. The way it ended this year for Auburn, who was, man, they were the cock of the walk, so to speak, all year long. But yet, man, toward the end, you saw that little bit of a slide with them. And it is a tough SEC now, no question about it, when you look at the amount of teams that got into the tournament. But how would you handle that? And because this is really maybe the first time they faced some adversity on that basketball team. How would you handle that at Auburn today, seeing kind of how the season ended for them?
Well, you know, they've got a couple days to reset, and their opening round game will be, you know, is it St. Francis or Alabama State? And I think the train of frustration will come out on, you know, on the, one of those teams. And, you know, I think you get your head up in a game with a couple days to reset, and then anything is in play. And I think they lost three of their last four, but that team is super talented. Jani Broome's been there forever. Dylan Cardwell's been there forever. Tahad Pettiford is an unbelievable freshman for them. And I think they'll bounce back and make a run.
Coach, is there a team you look at this and how it's bracketed and you say, I think they could make a run at this, that they could possibly be a Final Four team, and maybe they aren't getting talked about as much?
To me, Drake would – well, you could say Drake and Louisville. The one that's mind-blowing to me when you look at seeding, Louisville's number 10 in the AP, and they're an 8 seed. I don't know how that happens. But Ben McCollum at Drake is an unbelievable coach. You know, I believe they're 30-3, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, I could see them making a run and surprising some people.
Coach, I saw something stat that had, like, Memphis's resume next to Louisville's, and that maybe the committee just got them mixed up, because I agree with you 100%. I don't know how Louisville's an 8 seed, and then I also don't really know how Memphis is a 5 seed necessarily, but it was just kind of strange. I wanted to ask you about Rick Pitino and what he's done with St. John's in year two. Year one, they're 20-13, but this year 30-4, the first Big East title for St. John's in 25 years, and their first NCAA tournament appearance since 2019. Pitino seems to have like this year two effect, basically every stop that he's been, where a couple years into his tenure, all of a sudden this team's a juggernaut, and St. John's being kind of one of the scarier two seeds. Granted, they get Florida's bracket, which is a little bit tough, but just want to get your thoughts on what Coach Pitino's done this year.
Well, you know, the clip went viral of him talking to the team in the locker room and asking them where their toughness was. Such a good coach, always, you know, really known for pressure defense, coached pressure defense in the EuroLeague as well. And, you know, he's an icon in himself, but he recruits hard-playing guys. He coaches them hard, but he loves them hard also. And, you know, finds a way to get the best every single year out of his team.
Coach, you kind of stole the thunder I was going to ask you about, and that's about Memphis. Charlie brought it up about the Memphis basketball team, and kind of growing up, they were a really good team back in late 60s into the 70s, and they've kind of rode a little bit of the roller coaster. But your thoughts on Memphis and how far they could go in this tournament?
You know, their draw, you got Maryland very likely in the second round. I think that one's going to be a hard one to get by, but if they're able to get by Maryland, you're probably looking at Florida in there. So I don't know how far they could really go. But, you know, they had some adversity with their staff this summer, and he bounced right back like nothing happened. And so, hey, it's March. Anything can happen.
Coach, give us – I don't know if you've done it yet, but give us your Final Four. Who you project that you think could maybe get there and be those Final Four teams?
I hate to be you know, riding the number one train here, but I've got all four ones in there, and I don't know if that's ever happened. Auburn against Florida, Duke against Houston, and I've got Florida-Houston in the final. Don't know how great I feel about the pick, but I do feel like Florida's playing really well, and I've got them winning the whole thing.
Coach, I think it's been 11 straight years that a 5 seed or lower has snuck into the Final Four, but I'm with you, man. It just feels like the 1 seeds this year are a different breed than they've been in years past, so I wouldn't be surprised at all. I wanted to actually get your thoughts on that Florida team, because winning the SEC tournament and the way that they did it, just blowing out Alabama and then beating a Tennessee team that had just taken down Auburn, they just look so, so impressive right now. And I was trying to find like a hole when I'm watching them, right? They got good guard play. They got good big play. They play good offense. They play good defense. It's just like, where's the hole on this team? I just can't really find it.
They're probably four or five deep at the guard spot. The big kid, Alex Condon, is a monster. I don't know that they have a gap. I mean, they looked really good in the SEC tournament. And, you know, if Auburn's able to make that run, you know, coming off losing, was it three of their last four, they could sneak in there and get on a run. But that Florida team is really strong and looks really good.
Coach, I wanted to follow up on the question about with Master P and UNO basketball. Have you already seen some of the fruits of that labor already, or certainly some interest about helping out your program?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, he is a force and he is a presence, and people are attracted to him. People want to be involved when he's around. And that was instant.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. We really appreciate it. And, hey, listen, let's do this again next week after we see how things break down, and we can talk a little bit about how the tournament's going.
Sweet 16 talk, Coach.
How about
I'd love
that?
To. That'd be great. That'd be great. Thank you.
Thanks so much. The men's basketball head coach at UNO, Stacy Hollowell. Interesting. Picking all number one seeds. Charlie, I don't think that's ever happened. For them to get to the Final Four,
Has happened, it's very rare.
It has, but it's been had to be a long time back.
Yeah, I'm going to do some research on that.
All right, we'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We have Zach Nagy on with us, who covers the LSU Tigers for Sports Illustrated, talking about a little bit of LSU spring football right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTay along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, covers the LSU Fighting Tigers for Sports Illustrated, Zach Nagy. Zach, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. How you doing, bud?
Doing good on this end, man. I appreciate you guys for having me on again.
Zach, I'm putting the cart before the horse here, but this was about 10 days ago. I talked to Pete Jenkins off the air, and he told me, Mike, watch Dominic McKinley. Now, I'm assuming he heard that from Bo Davis before Bo left to go to the Saints. So everything I've heard about McKinley has been, man, you don't want to line up against him because he's going to whip your backside. So tell us if that's accurate, because Pete didn't tell me that without getting insider information. If he was in the stock market, he'd be in prison today, because that's, to me, that's an insider call there.
No, you're not lying right there, Mike. You look at a guy like Dominic McKinley, and he was the number one rated player in the state of Louisiana for a reason coming out of high school, right? This is a guy who is a physical specimen. He's got the size. He's got the strength. It's all about putting it all together, getting that technique down. And who better to teach him the technique now than Kyle Williams, a guy who's done it at a Pro Bowl level at the NFL, an All-American level with LSU. So now fast forward to these next couple of weeks, and it's about piecing all together the small things for Dominic McKinley. And yes, he's a force in the trenches. This is a guy who's taking first team reps, obviously, alongside Ahmad Bro inside, and a player that has the chance to really continue evolving. In year one, his growth was a little bit stunted because he was battling a turf toe injury during fall camp. It rippled into, let's say, the first couple of weeks of the season, so he didn't get to really work at 100% last offseason. Now he has a full offseason to work while being healthy, and he's starting to reap the benefits of that. Now, throw in Kyle Williams, who's teaching him the techniques and fundamentals. I think it's going to be a really beneficial offseason for Dominic McKinley heading into year two with the Tigers.
We're seeing some 12 personnel set, two tight ends. We know Tre'Davious Green, what he brings to the table. Great size, pass catcher. Really, he's a wide receiver playing tight end. Bauer, though, is a different story. Bauer Sharp, when I saw him first at Southeastern, I was like, there ain't no way. He's finishing up as a Southeastern Lion. He's going somewhere. And he ends up going to Oklahoma, ends up leading the Sooners in receptions last year, comes in as a transfer to LSU. From what you've seen of him, he's, to me, a physical presence, former quarterback. But, man, he's pieced together. He catches the ball real clean out front with his hands, but he can certainly help you in the run-blocking game. So your thoughts of what you've seen so far in Bauer Sharp?
Yeah, Mike, this is a guy who's a complete tight end. Like you alluded to, he led the Sooners in receptions last year. So he's got the soft hands to be able to come up with the catch when need be. But the piece that makes him so dynamic in this LSU offense is he can put his hands in the dirt. And that's something that Tre'Davious Green isn't necessarily the best at right now. He's continuing to evolve as a blocker and getting down in the dirt. Like you said, he's more of a wide receiver in a tight end role right now. But when it comes to Bauer Sharp, he's the full package. And we had the chance to sit down and talk with him today. And he loves the Louisiana culture. He loves Baton Rouge and what it means to be an LSU Tiger. This is a guy who's willing to do anything and everything for this program moving forward. So if it means taking a little bit less reps behind Tre'Davious Green, he's willing to do that. And I think you have a really solid 1-2 punch at the tight end position right now. We know what Tre'Davious is capable of. Now it's about incorporating Bauer Sharp as well. And we're really seeing him turn some heads early in camp. I'm excited to see him down the stretch and so on, because you alluded to it. This is a guy who's a versatile weapon, can do a lot of different things offensively. And we're starting to see flashes of that during spring camp through 6 days.
Every time I've watched Tyree Adams play when he's out there, he impresses me because I know how tall he is. And when you tall cut like that, it's difficult for you to bend those knees and to get in into the torso of a defensive lineman. But he's impressive doing that. And I don't want to use the term natural doing it, but he looks real smooth doing it. How has he looked so far in spring drills? Because every time I've seen him out there for LSU, he impresses me with the technical part of the game.
Absolutely, and it's rare to use the word nimble when kind of talking about an offensive lineman, but Tyree is kind of just that. We've seen him be a very consistent piece on that left side of the offensive line, and you need that. You're looking at four offensive linemen that are getting replaced from last season. We know that we're losing Will Campbell, Emory Jones, Garrett Dellinger, Miles Frazier. It's a new era with this LSU offensive line, and Tyree Adams has been around the mix. He's been in the mix for a while, and of course, it's big shoes to fill. You're replacing none other than Will Campbell at the left tackle spot, right? But for him, it's just about taking it one day at a time. Brad Davis has shuffled the O-line each and every day through camp, but the one consistent piece and the one that's definitely just been there and reliable is Tyree Adams. So I'm really glad you brought him up, Mike, because this is a guy who I certainly think can enter the fold week one at Clemson, just be a consistent piece to this offensive line that, like we've talked about, is going to have so many new faces this season.
Zach, just listening to Jack Pyburn, I can't help but get fired up, and I think a lot of LSU folks feel the exact same way. The one thing that he talked about is violence and physicality in the run game. He said that he's one of the best, if not the best, run-stuffing defensive end out there in college football. But I want to get your thoughts on what he was talking about with the media earlier today, improving his pass rush, right? And he said a lot of it's mental, that you just kind of have to flip a switch, and he's hoping that, you know, refining the very small details with this new coaching staff can really help unlock him this season with the purple and gold.
Yeah, I think when it comes to a guy like Jack Pyburn, the opportunity to be coached up by Kevin Peoples, Blake Baker, et cetera, it helps him work on the technical and tactical, as Brian Kelly likes to always talk about. And I think he's starting to kind of get that together now. Having the chance to talk to Jack today was fantastic. This is a guy who just loves football. He's a football guy. He gives me a lot of familiarity and flashbacks to Whit Weeks. Just a football dude who wants to be there and make the play each and every down. So I love what Jack's providing this team so far. He looks like a specimen out on the field. My goodness, he is that full 6'4", 250-ish, 255 weight. He looks the part and looks firmly like a player who's going to take some big-time reps. But like you alluded to, just kind of continuing to work things through from a schematic and then whatnot there is going to be big for him. So excited to see him continue to work and become a focal point for the LSU defense in 2025, because they're going to need his help on the edge. They have a ton of bodies, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's one of the guys who continues to take more and more reps each and every day.
Zach, last question for you. Josh Thompson's now in from Northwestern. And you and I have talked about this before. I'm a big believer in building from the inside out. And he has played both tackle and guard. But first place I'd play him, at guard. You've got to solidify the middle of that offensive line for LSU. And so that's just my opinion with Josh. I'm going to play him inside at guard. Your thoughts on where you think Thompson will end up playing for the Tigers up front?
Yeah, I think you're right on the money right there, Mike. And one thing that I've learned talking with you over these last couple of months, years, et cetera, is that your backups and your starters, they need to be on the same wavelength. Obviously, you insert Josh Thompson as a guy who's going to be a starter for this team, but the next guy up needs to be key as well. So if you throw him in at guard, if you throw him in at tackle, everybody needs to be prepared to shuffle around if need be. So for me, kind of tying that together is I think he's a guard for now. I think he shined at the interior slot. They need him there. It's important to lock that down in order to develop a run game as well, too. So I really think that once everything gets into the nitty-gritty and he continues to get prepared for LSU, I think being a guard is his bread and butter. Excited to see where it works out. But ultimately, I think interior is where they're going to use him for now.
Zach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, we always enjoy when you come on, give us great insights on LSU if it's not a game, but also some of the practice sessions in the spring. So thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks, Zach.
All righty. Zach Nagy, who covers the LSU Tigers for Sports Illustrated. We come back, finish it off here on hour number two of Sports Talk right after this break. Finishing up here on hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long. Want to tell everybody at 6'10", Dante Pettis, wide receiver for the Saints, who re-signed. Saints got him late last season, brought him back into the fold. He'll be on with Steve and Charlie. More Sports Talk right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL.
Takes the snap. Stands in the middle, throws to the end zone, caught! Dante Pettis makes the catch left side of the end zone.
Welcome on into the second half of Sports Talk this Tuesday, March 18th, and happy to welcome the men that caught that touchdown right now. Dante Pettis, newly inked with the black and gold. How you doing today, Dante? Thank you for the time.
Oh, of course, I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You were a part of this team late last season, got to work with, you know, quarterbacks Derek Carr, Spencer Rattler, Jay Kaner. Just overall, your impressions of this QB room going into this season?
I'm excited. I mean, obviously, they all got some playing time. Young guys got a little bit of playing time, too. We're able to work on some things, and I'm just excited to get back there and work with them.
You were a part of the offense. Obviously, special teams, though, too, is a big part of your game. Getting to work with Phil Galliano at the end of the year, just what is he like as a special teams coach? Obviously, taking over from a guy, Darren Rizzi, who became the interim head coach and now is in Denver. But Phil is the guy now, and know you at least have a relationship going into year two with him.
Yeah, Phil is great. When I first got there, he kind of helped me catch up to speed special teams-wise, and so I got to work kind of closely with him. So I'm definitely looking forward to continuing that.
When you look at this Saints squad, what were some of the, I guess, highlights of you getting to come back for another year with this team? Like I said, you had kind of latched on late and made a presence felt. You had that touchdown last game of the year. Also had a two-point conversion during the season. But just overall, your impressions of this roster and, you know, your decision to come back for another season?
Yeah, well, I think pretty much from top to bottom, the organization as a whole is really does things well, and that's something that I can attest to. I've been in a couple different places, and you can kind of see that pretty quickly. And then obviously getting Kellen Moore, that's a big factor of me coming back there as well.
Yeah, you mentioned new head coach Kellen Moore, really young guy, just coming off a Super Bowl victory with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's been around the league a long time, though, being a young coach. What are you getting an impression from him, and what impacted you the most, you know, that made you want to say, hey, I want to be in this guy's offense?
I think, going back when he first started coaching, he was my cousin's quarterback at Boise State, so I already knew all about him, and I knew what a great offensive mind he had and all of that. And so once he started coaching, I always knew that was kind of someone that I wanted to play for. And so getting this opportunity, I'm really excited about.
You know, looking at some of your background, I know you also ran track, were a basketball player. What happened? None of Dad's baseball skills rubbed off on you? You weren't interested in baseball at all?
No, they definitely did. Baseball honestly might have been my best sport, but it was tough to you got to play it year round, you know. And I was playing every other sport, and so every time I would come back to baseball, the coach would be like, "Well, I haven't seen you play," so it kind of made things a little more difficult for me.
Just talk more about your game to the Who Dat Nation out there. I definitely know you're a guy that's known for your route running quickness, a football IQ, and man, you got some sure hands there, which obviously you need as a wide receiver. You got vacuum hands, as they like to call them.
I think you said it. Route running, I definitely pride myself in being able to get open and whether it's versus zone or man, find a hole in the zone or get open one-on-one. I think that's something that I take pride in. And then, definitely catching the ball. That's obviously a big part of pretty much the main part of being a receiver. And so just being able to make those tough catches.
Dante, we've talked to a bunch of different free agents that have signed with the Saints and, you know, kind of their connection with Kellen Moore and what Coach Moore kind of sold them on what they can do in 2025 and his offense. And I just want to get your thoughts on, you know, what Coach Moore has kind of talked to you about so far in the process when you re-signed with the Black and Gold for this 1 year extension.
To be completely honest, we didn't talk too much. He called me when I first signed and was just kind of saying how he was excited to get me back there and, you know, get this thing rolling. Especially coming off of what he did with my cousin in college. So he was excited to get me another Pettis. And we didn't get into specifics. I think that's something that we'll kind of get into as OTAs come around and, you know, we all get in the building.
Have you gotten to talk to any of your teammates since re-upping with the team?
I talked to a couple of them. Some of us stay in touch throughout the offseason. So, definitely talked to a couple of them. We're all excited to get back.
Looking at now, you get to spend another season in black and gold this year, full year round here in Louisiana. What are some of the things maybe, I guess, off the field you look forward to exploring the city more?
Yeah, last year I feel like I didn't really get to explore too much. I was thrown in the middle of the season and everything was just focused on football, but I did get a chance to go to the zoo out there, and that was really cool. I had a couple good outings there, and so I definitely look forward to going back there. I'm big into art, and I know there's a big art scene out there, so I'm definitely going to be trying to tap into that a little bit more.
Definitely. New Orleans, very seasoned city. You're going to have a lot of fun here. Thanks so much for the time today, Dante, and good luck. Be seeing you soon at the workouts coming up shortly around at that Saints facility in Metairie there. So, like I said, good luck, and thank you again for the time, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Dante Pettis, Saints wide receiver and return specialist for the Black and Gold, re-up with the team on a new one-year deal. We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. Getting ready, 6:30 first pitch. LSU baseball taking on UNO right here on WWL on the Odyssey app. Coming back with more Sports Talk, though, right after this on WWL. Welcome back into our abbreviated edition of Sports Talk this Tuesday. Getting ready for some LSU baseball coming up, a 6:30 first pitch. Before we get into some of the Tigers and their action against UNO, we talked about it a little bit with Mike earlier, Charlie, but man, oh man, another rough evening for the Pelicans, not just on the stat sheet, but another devastating injury for this ball club.
A freak injury too, Steve. And that's
right.
What's
how the heck
part.
Did that happen?
Like a minute into the game, Trey's diving for a loose ball, and it's not even a dirty play by Rasar Thompson. It was just a freak injury. It's just like, okay, here we go again. It's unbelievable, Steve. The injury luck that this team has had this year, just blow after blow after blow. For those that don't know, he suffered a torn labrum last night, a partially torn rotator cuff, which obviously means that he's out for the final 13 games of the season. And for those that haven't been counting lottery balls, I mean, it's full lottery ball mode.
Yeah, for sure. And really unfortunate for Trey, because at least it was one of the bright spots of the year.
Yeah.
You know, he was really showing more of his game, being more of a prominent piece to this offense, obviously. But, you know, now we won't see him for the final 13 games of the year, and just at this point wishing him a speedy and, you know, pretty fluid recovery. I don't know how difficult it is coming back from the torn labrum.
I think that out of everyone that took a step this year, the biggest one was Trey. And so,
yeah, for sure.
I mean, you're talking about a guy they made the commitment to in the offseason. They were willing to move on from Brandon Ingram because they saw how good he was this year. And then at the same time, there are all-star expectations for Trey in the future, in the very, very near future, by the way. He averaged over 21 points per game this season. He was averaging over 5 rebounds, 3 assists, shooting at a good clip. I mean, he was one of the star players on this team, and now he's out for the rest of the season. It's just blow after blow, Steve. It's very unfortunate.
We definitely have to get some kind of voodoo priestess, something to come around the Smoothie King Center and the Superdome to help alleviate the hex that's been on both squads. This season was just devastating for both the Pels and the Saints.
Absolutely. Now moving on to better things and brighter things.
Yes.
LSU baseball tonight against UNO, Steve. A couple of things that I mentioned in the Sports Flash. Very good offense, a team that's hitting over 324 this season. They're 11-7 overall. They're 5-4 in conference play in the Southland Conference. But the one thing that kind of stands out to me, Steve, the team ERA is over 7.
So that was mighty inflated.
So maybe expect some fireworks tonight from LSU's bats and see if they can pick up a 16th straight victory in this midweek matchup against the Privateers.
Tigers been rolling. They have definitely put out their lineup. And the starting pitcher for this evening, at least, is Jaden Newt. We fully expect it to be Johnny Holstaff this evening. A combination of guys. We'll see who ends up getting the most of the action on the bump tonight.
I don't think Newt has gone more than 2 innings yet. So,
right.
Yeah, it's going to be a bullpen game for LSU. I think that Jay's going to throw a bunch of different guys. Unless Newt just gets overextended and maybe he's looking really great and he's just rolling through UNO's bats. But UNO does have a pretty good offense, so we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it, man. Jaden Newt getting the bump, and I think his first start of the season tonight, right, Steve?
Yes, sir. And LSU-UNO coming up right now here on WWL and the Odyssey app. Be talking to you tomorrow, folks. Sports Talk on 4 to 8. Me and Mike D'Attelier, Charlie B, hanging out with you then. Also watching the NCAA tournament. Who dat, folks?
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.